Now, head into the ring at a total combined weight of... the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast!
Welcome to another edition of the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. I am Rick, and Drew is trying to be Captain America.
I guess this is the undershirt I wore to work today.
So that's what you're rocking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like Spider-Man. Like I can tug my collar down and be like, hey, reveal the Captain America suit underwards.
Underwards?
So if I need to save the day at work,
you can.
I can be Captain America?
Maybe.
Okay.
I guess. Okay. Well, moving on. So we're going to talk a little bit about music today, specifically wrestling music, but we're going to kind of go into a little bit more because Drew and I are both music nuts and listen to way more than we probably should. So, and Drew can like pick out dates. Like, it is ridiculous how good you are at being able to like name a song and be within like 1 year of when it came out, just because you remember where you were when you heard it the first time. Or
I do.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So
it's my Slumdog Millionaire word association memory.
Yeah, it's impressive for sure. The reason that we're going to do 1993, because that was the year that WrestleMania the album, which was the first of the WWE releases, came out. So WrestleMania the album came out in 1993. Interesting enough, you know who one of the producers was?
Rick Ocasek of the Cars?
No.
Okay.
Simon Cowell.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. It was Simon Cowell, Mike Stock, Pete Waterman, Dave Ford, and Gary Miller.
All right. So, well, if it's a Gary Miller, we know it's going to be good.
I miss Gary.
I don't know who Gary Miller
is.
Oh,
I was thinking, what was Gary's last name? That worked with
Blake.
Us? Plague, that's right, Blake. Not Miller. Yeah. So, we'll go ahead. You want to run down the tracks of the things that were the popular songs that were...
Yeah, are these all entrance?
Yeah, it's all entrance music.
In 1993. All right, cool. Is IRS's entrance music on there?
It is not. So, let's see. I'm trying to see if it like actually made it. It failed to chart in the U.S., but it reached number 10 in the U.K. Albums. So
you crazy Europeans like your wrestling music.
Wrestling music, apparently, yes. Let's see. So the first two are WrestleMania and Slam Jam, which were basically the intros that they used for WrestleMania and Slam Jam. Okay. Or WrestleMania and their weekly shows, excuse me. And then you have U.S. Jim Dugan, Hacksaw's intro music, so
Hacksaw
USA.
Jim Dugan.
Dugan.
Do they have Hacksaw Jim Duggan's music on there?
They do have Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Okay. I don't know why I always say Dugan. Yes.
I
always do it, but the Nasty Boy Stomp.
Okay.
Never Been a Right Time to Say Goodbye. So Bret the Hitman Hart's music.
That's what that's called? That's what that song's called?
That's what that song is called.
What the hell? That's a weird title for that.
Yeah, I would play some of the music. I don't want to get taken down either off Twitch or off of our live broadcast, which, by the way, we are broadcasting this live on Twitch today, so we're trying something new.
Cool. Yeah. I would have put a hat on had you told me that.
Yeah, it's okay.
And repositioned my
nobody cares what we look like. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching. What are you kidding?
There's two people watching, me and you.
Well, next up is The Undertaker's music, The Man in Black.
Okay.
Speaking from the Heart, Macho Man's intro music.
I thought the Macho Man came out to like the Pomp and Circumstance.
He did, but I guess for a while he must have been coming out for something else, or a different type of music. So, like I said, I'd play it, but we might get in trouble, so I don't want to do that. And I don't know if you'd be able to hear it anyway.
I'm going to have to look it up afterwards.
Yes. Tatanka, Tatanka Native American. I'm Perfect for Mr. Perfect, obviously. Right. Apparently, only on the UK version was Crush's music, Cold Crush. Then the Big Boss Man's Hard Times. And then the UK version also had a remix, the 12-foot Full Nelson mix of Slam Jam.
Okay.
So the instrumental version of WrestleMania was used for the 1994 through 1998 WrestleMania intros. And it was also later used for Linda McMahon's entrance music.
Oh, okay. I remember now the music now that you said that.
So, but yeah, it was, those were the things that were out in there. Actually, I don't know. So Speaking from the Heart may actually have been Macho Man. Like, I don't think it was Macho Man's thing, or actual music, because the note on there was, let's see. Oh, never mind. That's not that. No, it says incorporated elements from wrestlers, from the wrestler's entrance music. So I guess it was a cut together of, it wasn't their actual, his actual entrance music. It was just a cut together version of it.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, so that's, those were the hot, that was the hotness in 1993, wrestling music.
They were some fat tracks with a PH.
I'm trying to pull up to see if there were some other interesting thing that kind of went, like, or any other interesting 1993 intro music that wasn't on there. Doesn't really show a whole lot of different music that was on here, so.
I don't know if I was watching wrestling still in 1993. I know I was in 92. I would imagine I was still watching it in 93.
Well, 93 was the 93 was the launch of Raw, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I didn't have cable as a child.
Ah, and it was on USA.
Yeah, so the first time I saw Raw was in 1996. 97, actually.
I'm sure I watched it. My dad was a hardcore, speaking of rest his soul, today's the day, but
I know I decoded your
my Facebook message. So,
was going to be an asshole and dedicate the show to him before you could.
Well, I mean, you're welcome too. Go right ahead. We'll do that on the outro. Okay. So, but yeah, it doesn't look like, I mean, some of the music was just kind of there. Like it wasn't, I mean, some of the things I was used to seeing, but they're common, like it's common music that you're used to hearing, but it wasn't like what it is today. Like today it's like these massive, big produced things. And back then it was just kind of, like one or two guys had the big productions, and then the rest of them were just kind of, here's a little bit of music.
It seems like, I guess because back when I was a child, I didn't understand what generic production music was, and now I do. So all the wrestlers' entrances, even like the big ones, just seem like generic production music to me. Just like the shit that back at Golf Channel we'd grab to throw on a freaking Tiger Woods clip of him like putting at the 18th on the Masters.
Yeah, it was all just canned music that like you can go and find like, anywhere now.
Duh, wrestler entrance. That's obviously like you can steal, like if WWE wants to steal what I just did and use that for one of their wrestlers, feel free, but that's not anything that they actually used.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to do that, but...
Dun, wrestler entrance.
Yes.
I would laugh if they did. That would be mine. If I ever signed with WWE, it's
going to
be
da, my da,
entrance.
Da,
da, da, wrestler entrance. I'm just going to walk out. My arms
up. But there were some other albums that came out in 93 that were influential, one would say.
Like other than wrestling albums?
Other than wrestling albums.
Okay. Transition.
Yes, transition. Doing so well at this whole thing. So, yeah. What do you think the number one album of 1993 was?
Something by Celine Dion?
No.
Oh, wait. Oh, never mind. That was 1992. It was not Bad Out of Hell, too, right?
No.
That was 92. All right.
Giving up?
Oh, yeah. Once it wasn't Bad Out of Hell, too.
It was
Crazy Sexy Cool?
No, In Utero.
Nirvana's In Utero. That was the number one album of the year?
At least according to what I'm looking at.
I would have to look at Billboard charts because... I don't think anything Nirvana did ever went to number one. Give me 5 seconds.
I'm looking it up right now. Hold on. I got the singles. Sorry, I'm just... Let's see. It's got weekly. I want the whole year. This is not working out well for me.
So at the beginning of the year, it was one from 1992, which was the Bodyguard soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find the biggest hit singles. Top 10 selling albums of the year and the top 10 best albums of the year. Here we go.
Do you know how nice it is to look at this chart?
The number 10 best or the number one best album of the year is Nirvana's In Utero. The best selling album was the Bodyguard original soundtrack.
Okay. So I'm looking at this and it's so weird to like look at this and see a bunch of like just people putting out albums that could still put out good albums back then.
Yes.
Like Depeche Mode. Nothing they put out nowadays would ever chart, but back in 1993, they could still put out a good album.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, that's okay. You want to know okay, so I think you've already figured out the number one the Hot 100 single, right?
Was it the Whitney Houston song?
Yeah, I Will Always Love You.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. But what was the song?
What do you think the number two one was?
Number two song.
Number
of
two.
Year?
Number two Hot 100 single. So it doesn't really include rock, but I mean not rock, but.
I'm gonna take a swing.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a big swing.
Okay.
Tears in Heaven.
No.
Okay.
It is Whoop! There It Is by the Tag Team.
I thought that came out in 95.
It doesn't matter for the Hot 100. It's whatever was playing on the radio. Yeah. So it didn't have to be released that year. The song reached number one on the Billboard's Hot R&B and number two on the top Hot 100.
Okay. All right.
Followed by, we'll do the top 10. Can't Help Falling in Love.
By UB40?
Yes, by UB40.
Okay.
That's the way love goes.
That is the way love goes by Janet Jackson.
Yes, I'm quizzing you on this. Freak Me. Yeah.
Freak Me was Silk.
Yeah.
yeah.
Weak.
Weak. God, there's like 15 different Weak songs.
I don't know if I know who this is.
Hold on.
I'm sure I would know the song.
SWV?
Yes, that is
awesome. Oh. And you can see my hands.
Yeah, I know you're not. If I Ever Fall in Love.
That's not Selena, right?
No.
No. I have to tap out on that one. Who is that?
Shy.
Oh. All right.
Dream Lover.
Well, it's Mariah Carey.
Yep. Rump Shaker.
That is Rex and Effects.
Yep. And this one's easy. Informer.
Snow. Informer.
Damn. Licky boom boom now. SWV actually has two songs in the top 20. That's impressive. But yeah, so but the top, we'll go back to the top albums. Mm-hmm. Because really, like, back then, that's when you were buying albums. You weren't really buying singles back then. Like, you were listening to singles on the radio, but you had to buy the entire album. So
if you wanted to, if you wanted a single, what you would do, for all you millennials and Gen Zers out there, is you would get a cassette tape. You would stuff it in your freaking boombox or your stereo, and you would sit by the radio desperately waiting for them to play your quote-unquote jam, and then you would press record. I had like 100 tapes.
And hope that the DJ didn't talk over it.
Oh, yeah. The fucker would always talk over the first few seconds of your favorite song.
Or the last few as he was coming back in. Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. So we got In Utero. The first, let's see. Number two was Siamese Dream.
One of my favorite albums.
Number three was Enter the Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Number four was Doggy Style.
Okay.
Number five was Versus.
Okay.
Number six was Tuesday Night Music Club.
Is that Sheryl Crow?
That is Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, August and Everything After is number seven.
Counting Crows.
Exactly. Debut by Bjork.
Okay.
Exile in Guyville.
That's fair.
And Suede were the top 10.
I don't particularly know Suede.
Suede is also the name of the musician who released Suede. So
good for him or her.
Some other big releases. Midnight Marauders came out. Music Box.
Midnight Marauders is one of my favorites.
It's a great album. Yeah. Black Sunday. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't we? Janet. 12 Play, Get a Grip. Let's see.
Get a Grip was a monster album back then.
It really was. There were, what, seven different?
There was singles? Living on the Edge. There was the trilogy of videos with Alicia Silverstone. That would be Crying.
Yeah, Fallen.
Amazing and Crazy.
Yeah.
So that's four. I think they released another song off of that album.
There was a lot that came off of that album. Let's see. Zuropa, YouTube's Undertow. YouTube.
Was that Tool?
That was Undertow? Tool.
Okay.
Modern Life is Rubbish.
Modern English, I don't know that one.
Blur.
Okay.
Very Necessary.
Oh, Salt and Pepper.
Yeah, you almost said TLC, didn't you?
I did.
Are You Gonna Go My Way? Came out that year?
Probably not, but you know.
Let's see. God Shuffled His Feet.
Ooh, Crash Test Dummies.
Yep. Candlebox, Diary of a Mad Band.
Oh, that is one of my favorite Jodeci albums.
River of Dreams.
I was waiting for you to get to this one. Do you know? I'm pretty sure that was the last album of new material that Billy Joel released.
It probably is, because everything else has been like best of and covers.
He continues to tour. Like, he'll be here next month.
Right.
Continues to tour for like almost 30 years off of that last album of new material.
Let's see. Emergency on Planet Earth came out that year.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that one.
Jamiroquai.
Ah, yes. That didn't have Virtual Insanity on it.
I thought it did. Or was that later?
That came out in like 97, 98.
Let's see.
It was not on that album. The Future was made of Virtual Insanity because the album came out with it on it later.
Got it. A Storm in Heaven by The Verve.
Okay.
Son of Souls, Tony.
Sons of Soul.
Yeah, Sons of Soul. I'm just kind of like getting towards the bottom here. Transmission from the Satellite Heart. It's On. So a little Eazy-E.
Mm-hmm.
Pablo Honey, another Radiohead album. Duran Duran, the wedding album.
Pablo Honey had Creep on it.
Yes, that they do not perform and refuse to perform now.
And It's On had Real Motherfucking G's on it.
Yes. And what about Strictly for My N-Word?
That had Keep Your Head Up.
It did.
And what was my other jam off of that one? I have that album still. I Get Around.
There's a, like, when you get towards the bottom, there's still a lot of really good ones in here. Deluxe by Better Than Ezra. Where You Been, Dinosaur Jr.
Is that, that's not the one with Feel the Pain on it.
I don't think it is.
No.
Neil Young Unplugged. Ice Cube's Lethal Injection.
Okay.
Sister Sweetly by Big Head Todd the Monster. Big Head Todd and the Monsters. I don't know how that made it in the top 100, but we're going to go with it. I love Big Head Todd the Monsters, like, cuz they're just weird, but I don't know how that made it in the top 100. Counterparts by Rush.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the end of
the big stuff.
The big stuff.
Was that Depeche Mode album on there, or was that just released the year before?
I think it was released the year before.
Okay.
Oh, no. Sons of Faith and Devotion.
Yeah.
Songs of Faith. Yeah.
I believe that was the one with Personal Jesus on it.
That came out in, or that that was the number 27 album of 1993.
Yeah. It was weird because they went from, like, their 80s look to, like, he grew, the lead singer, like, grew the hair out, and they were all kind of grunged out, but they were still making, like, Depeche Mode like music.
I kind of like doing, like, I like going and, like, comparing the music of what was out versus what was going on in wrestling at the time, because you can tell, like, when they started to get into that, like, we're gonna follow with pop culture music thing, and how about this, we'll randomly throughout, like, whenever we need to fill time or whatever, we'll go the albums one through whatever. So next one up would be Full Metal, the album, which was 1995, and we can kind of compare.
Yeah.
Because Full Metal, the album, I think had some, maybe not. I thought it had some of the actual music, like the, some bands and stuff that were in it.
But yeah, we can look at some of the trends in wrestling that year and see, was there like a grunge wrestler in 1991 or something like that? Or
yeah, it didn't really, like, it doesn't really fit this time around so much.
'93 is when they were starting to move away from grunge and more into alternative rock.
Yes.
So, but I would be interested in doing 1991, because I think that's the year that, like, I was thinking about where
91 had a ton of,
like, Nevermind, Metallica's Black Album, maybe. I think Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 came out that year. Blood Sugar Sex Magik by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think Pearl Jam put Verses out. The Smashing Pumpkins put Gish out.
Yeah, you're right with the Black Album and Nevermind 10. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. So we'll look into that at another time.
Yeah,
but we could definitely do 1991 if you wanted to do that next, because there was there's definitely some, like, the top 25 are all albums I think I owned, or at least most of. So.
I think if we go to, '94, it's either '94 or '95. We could pick up the Blue Album by Weezer, but I think it was '95 actually.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. But yeah,
yes, I remember. I helped my friend's dad move, and came home that night, and in my mailbox from BMG Music Club was a copy of Weezer's Blue so, Album.
Actually, no, it was 1994. You were right the first time.
Was that?
Yep. So, but yeah, no, we can we'll take a look at some other years, and we'll go through and just kind of compare wrestling and music at the time and see where it went. Yeah. You want to go ahead and plug our socials so we can get out of here?
Yes, you can go to Top Rope Wrestling Podcast at Instagram. You can go to Top Rope Wrestling without the G at Twitter. You can go to Facebook and just look up Top Rope Wrestling Podcast and join our group and chat with us. Go to toproperwrestling.com. That's where you can listen to our archives. Of course, you can also listen to them on Instagram. You can listen to them on iTunes, iHeartMedia, anywhere you get podcasts from. But if you're listening to this now, you know that because you're listening on the device that you get podcasts from. On our website, you can listen to our archives. You can hear all our shows. You can email us and call us sacks of shit for not putting a show out last week.
You can go to toproperwrestling.com and click the contact or click the contact us link or use the email at the top, or you can go to podcast@toproperwrestling.com, rick@toproperwrestling.com, drew@toproperwrestling.com, anybody@toproperwrestling.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 951 top rope, and no one's left us voicemails, so we're still waiting. We'd love to play your voicemail
for 2 years now.
We thought that we would send them something.
We
still haven't gotten them.
Did we? Have we hit the 2 year mark yet? We had to have. Or was it January 19th?
If not, we would have hit. Yes, you are correct. We have been doing this 2 years.
We've been. Yeah.
That's longer than anything else we've done together, I think.
With consistency,
yes.
Because we had one podcast go for like 8 years. We just only did an episode every 4 months.
Well, for a while there, we were doing it weekly. Sometimes we were doing it more than weekly. But yeah, that was... we had some... We also had some guests, or not guests, but a third mic for a while who dropped out because he didn't want people hearing what he was saying on our podcast.
I wish that Andy D was into wrestling so that we could try and interview him for this show again.
You know, we should ask him if he's into wrestling. Like, I've never actually asked him.
We really should.
Because, like, I would totally have him on.
We could do a Royal Rumble roundtable, and I will put him on as our fucking third mic. Or we could get, like, a couple of people and then put Andy D in there as well.
Speaking of, too, our old friend.
Backache. That visits me every morning.
No, yes, backache. Andy is actually reffing now down south.
Who is?
Andy that we went to NXT with. They got us moved up front. Yeah. You'd know him if you saw him. He used to work for UCF. But he's reffing now down south.
Oh, cool.
So cool. We'll see if he wants to come on too.
Yeah, we have. Who was our last interview? Chuck Steak?
Yes. If you really count that as an interview, that was kind of a let's fill time. Although we should have Chuck Steak on. We should get a hold of Chuck Steak for our Royal Rumble roundup.
Yeah, we should just get the oddest collection of people we could find that know anything about wrestling.
I wonder if I wonder if we can get Beastly on too. Oh, I mean, we're an odd collection of us anyway. So
exactly.
When is
the Royal Rumble's on a Saturday? I'm really excited about that because I don't have to.
Which Saturday is it?
Hopefully 29th
of January.
January.
Son of a bitch.
Are you out of town that night?
That's the same day as the Rolex 24, which I will be at. So I was going to say we should do a live broadcast of it, but if they're doing it on a Saturday, we did one for
Royal Rumble.
Did we do one for Rumble too? I know we did it. I remember when we did it for WrestleMania, but okie dokie. Oh, is that when you came over and we did pizza and everything?
Yeah.
I got it. So, let's get out of here. Maybe.
Yeah. So
call it a day.
let's CM Punk's move. Go to sleep. Let's, because that's what I'm gonna do as soon as I log off here.
Go to sleep. Take a nap.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.